Jonathan just looks at me and says, it's all yours. Right. Now, I don't look like Lynn either, do I? Lynn's been suffering from a fairly severe bout of the flu. She's had over a week off work, and so she called me up the other night and said, I don't know that I should be doing this on Sunday. So I said, well, give me a night to think about it. So you have me this morning instead. Now I want to just talk a bit about Romans chapter 5. It's we've been looking at, well, one stage we were looking at Romans, the book of Romans. We started on it in their home group. We haven't got that far, but I think we've sort of just about got to chapter 5, and that's what drew me to it. And I've quickly introduced what faith is when I was speaking with the children. And it related to Abraham's understanding of the reality of God's promises to him. Such was his, that is Abraham's, dependence on God's promises to him, that he was able to credit the righteousness and grace of Christ to him as though it was his own. Because Abraham believed that God could justify him and make him perfect enough to be able to fellowship in God's presence. Right at the beginning of this chapter, we find out that we too can experience this grace given freely to us by the Father through the actions of Jesus. We just need to be fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. That is, when we call out in the name of the Son, confessing our sins and asking for his forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just need to believe, and to believe implicitly, that Christ has done that for us. Christ didn't wait for us to become perfect, or even wait till we realised we needed to be forgiven before he acted to save us. He has acted in the hope that we would come to recognise him as God, and this demonstrates to all his incredible love for each one of us. Not only will we be saved from God's wrath on Judgment Day, but we are reconciled to God and given new life and hope. We've just so much to be thankful to God for. Our hearts are now able to enjoy the freedom from self-condemnation, freedom from condemnation of the enemy of our souls, and just soar in the presence and grace of God. However, is this your reality? Is it my reality? The other week, Chris Wake was asked us this question. What is the kingdom of God like for you? Or what is your understanding of the kingdom of God? Is your heart rejoicing in God's presence because we have this acceptance by God of us as we are, and the hope that he will transform us from being his enemies into his children? If we don't have this joy, we need to ask why. Because, to quote C.S. Lewis, joy is the serious business of heaven. Joy is the serious business of heaven. What might be the blockages to this joy? And is it permanent or just temporary blockages? Last week, I understand Doug Stevenson preached about our identity in Christ, a subject that has been mentioned several times in the past 2 years. We need to understand in our very souls that God has forgiven us and lifted us up to be his very sons and daughters. Remember, he has placed his very seal of authority on our lives by placing his Holy Spirit within those with faith. If we don't recognise this, then we'll remain susceptible to the lies of the devil, that we aren't good enough, or we don't deserve to be forgiven a second, or given a second or a hundredth chance. There is truth in what Satan is telling us. accept that with faith in Christ, we are good enough. When we understand who we are, we will stand like David did before Goliath and declare God's authority over him and God's authority over the earth. We need to declare God's authority over the earth and our lives as his sons and daughters daily, so that God's kingdom will be established in the land and that the enemy will have to flee. Remember, first we have to deal with the enemy of our soul before we can meet the needs of people effectively and bring them to a changed knowledge of who God is. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." So often we are successfully distracted into attacking people for what they represent to us, or we see them as a real threat, like Donald Trump holding up Mexican illegal immigrants as the source of all America's problems. Where have we heard that one before? Or if I could just get that Jim Ware to see my point of view, or get out of the way, then this church would really move ahead. Paul encourages us to put on God's armour, realise our new identity in Christ, and attack the real enemy, and the gates of hell will not be able to stand up against such a force. So that's saying that we need to be on our knees praying, declaring God's authority over our lives and over this world that we live in. We need to know who we are in Christ to be able to do that. Otherwise, it's just meaningless words. Then the people that need to be moved out of the way will be moved. If situations are not approached in this way, then we just hurt people and ourselves. We're unable to bring salvation to those who we so desperately want to, because we just see the problems they have, instead of seeing the person who just needs acceptance the way God has accepted it, you and me. While we were still his enemies, that's when God accepted us. So prayer and intercessory prayer and faith is important. And I know that's something that Clarence Gardine held in high importance. Do we still only have an intellectual acceptance of our need for God's forgiveness? This can be another blockage. Underneath our outward confession of our recognition of a need of God, we think God is lucky to have us on his side. We can think that. We think, I'm not a bad person. I really can't think of much that I need to confess. I live a fairly good life. This sort of thinking is not a temporary block to joy, it is permanent. Something the Pharisee struggled with in one of Jesus' parables, when comparing himself to the tax collector. We become self-satisfied with good works and so miss God's grace. I want now to deal with what I consider to be a temporary block to our joy in Christ. From verses 3 to 5, that word sufferings comes up, and to make matters more concerning, it is used in conjunction with the word rejoicing. What can suffering possibly have to do with rejoicing? I want to share with you a couple of stories. Now, some of you may follow the TV series Call the Midwife. Glenys and I sat down and watched it after the annual meeting this week. Medical things are never far from our household. Now, part of this week's episode concerned a young postulant nun who was gently chided early in the program by the confident senior sister for not expressing full joy in corporate worship by singing, because she was only singing very softly and she could barely be heard. The young woman replied that she was only following the instructions she had received in training as a postulant, that they should not be proud or showy of their talents. The sister reminded her the rest of the other nuns would be blessed by hearing her beautiful voice in praise to God. As the drama progressed, we see the young nun, after helping with a particular difficult birth where a young mother was in danger of dying, pausing on her way home to view the sunrise by the docks in Mundum. She felt her heart soaring in praise to God for the sunrise and for thankfulness for the skills of those involved in saving the young mother. However, at that precise moment, as she was rejoicing in God, she was attacked from behind by a man. She was left unconscious and badly bruised. This predatory man had attacked a number of other women, but none of those were willing to or able to give a description to the police. This young nun felt so violated by the assault that she was unable and unwilling to speak to the police. In fact, she didn't want to be touched or helped by the other nuns initially. She was so traumatized. Part of her trauma was that this had happened while she had been feeling so close to God that her heart was just singing out to God in praise. It challenged her very faith in God. This is exactly what happens to us when we are challenged by something out of the blue that brings us crashing down to earth and threatens to completely overwhelm us. It is then we need to put that perseverance and faith to bring back that inner joy that only Christ can give. Not a grip the teeth and just tough your way through it, but a coming to the realization that God has promised to see you through this, and his purpose is to make you whole and fulfill his purpose in you, will not be thwarted, whatever happens. If we try to tough it out through our own determination, then we will fail. We may partially succeed, but we'll come out deeply damaged. Verse 5 in Romans. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. The episode ends with this young nun singing beautifully with the other nuns and praising God. While this story may be only a story for television, I want to share with you another story about my sister-in-law and her husband. Over 20 plus years ago, she was driving her car when she felt the Lord say to her, "Have you got room in your life for one more child?" She thought about it and responded, "Yes, she did." Soon after, she found she was pregnant with her fifth child. To be expecting a child was not a surprise, but when the baby was born, he was found to have Down syndrome combined with major heart abnormalities. Obviously, the shock that this new life hangs in the balance due to heart problems, plus the unknown of Down's, is initially overwhelming. They would testify that they would wish it were different, but they also testify that it is God who has brought them through this journey with Kevin so far. God is evident in Kevin's joy in life, and God, through Kevin, has brought about some amazing challenges and circumstances in their lives as a family. The family have developed software to help children with special needs communicate and learn. This software has opened many doors into Southeast Asian countries. Recently, due to one of Kevin's carers being from Myanmar, they've been given the opportunity to take this program to people looking after special needs children there and introduce some of the government officials for education to the needs of this often forgotten group in their country. It is character building stuff, but in the end, we are not disappointed because God has poured out his love into our hearts. And as a result, our faith is justified and our joy is renewed. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Just at the right time, you will be given the strength to overcome the circumstances. Persevere in faith in God's promises, and you won't be disappointed. I just want to add in another little story here too that you are all familiar with. That's my niece, Rebecca. Now, I don't think it's God's will that she had the disease that she had. But it's God's desire that we pour faith into these situations so that we can then see the wonderful eternal outcomes that come from that when we add our faith to God's power and strength in overcoming these difficulties. And many of you here had a part in bringing that faith to bear on that situation, and in Sandy, Graham and Sandy's situation too. You helped them have faith. And I think that's really what the church is about, is helping each other to have that faith and encouraging one another in our daily lives so that we can go out with joy. We can see, look back, and we can see the change, how God has changed our circumstances over time. Even though at the very time that it happens, we think it's an impossibility. We need to take the seed, which is the kingdom of heaven, and bury it deep in our lives by filling our minds with God's word, learning to hear his voice, and then in response, lifting our voices in praise. Declare God's goodness before others. Actively hone your abilities. Then when the tough times come, make sure you water that seed with faith in Jesus, that he has done more than enough to secure your life in God. God will ensure the seed grows and good fruit will be produced. Where the kingdom of God is established, signs and wonders will follow. The church should be a place of sanctuary where we can express that joy, where broken lives are mended, not torn apart. As we understand how much God has forgiven us, then we can forgive others and accept them as they are. In the story of the young nun, she was eventually able to find restoration within the fellowship that she, with which she lived, which I see, as I just said before, as being a major role of our church too. Of course, restoration in reality can often take a lot longer than one episode of a television program. Remember, as C.S. Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. Don't forget to take time to experience it each day. Don't let the cares of this world rob you of it. Amen.